Hello, Marcus. Thank you so much for sharing your story, your song, your testimony with us today. We appreciate it so much. Would you pray with me? Oh God, we turn to you. We turn to you desperate for hope, longing to have experienced your presence. So, Holy Spirit, would you come? In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Frances Jane Crosby, known to us as Fanny Crosby, wrote over 8,000 hymns during her 95-year lifespan. Many of these hymns continue to be the most popular and most famous Christian hymns of our time. She wrote so many hymns that she started to use pen names so that the hymnal wouldn't be full of so many songs written by her. Now, what's impressive to so many people is that she did this in spite of her blindness. One well-meaning preacher came up to her and said, "I think it's a great pity that the Master did not give you sight when he showered so many other gifts upon you." Well, Fanny was used to hearing things like this, so she responded quickly. "Do you know that if at birth I had been able to make one petition, it would have been that I was born blind?" She said, "Because when I get to heaven, the first face that shall ever gladden my sight will be that of my Savior." What wonderful perspective she had. This coming from a woman who memorized whole chapters and sections of the scripture, who immersed herself in the love of Jesus. Born in New York, Fanny was able to see for the first 6 weeks of her life. But she got sick while the family doctor was away. And there was a man pretending to be a doctor who came through town. And he began to treat her. He prescribed hot mustard poultices for her eyes. And though her illness went away, her eyesight was already gone because of the treatments. A few short months later, her father passed away and forced her mother to go to work full-time to care for the needs of her family. Now, once the doctor was revealed as a quack, he disappeared, presumably moving to another area to do the same thing to other people. Fanny was mostly raised by her Christian grandmother. When the newly founded New York Institute for the Blind, which would become her home for 23 years, 12 years as a student and 11 years as a teacher, when it was opened, she started there. She was told not to waste her time on poetry. This opinion changed when a guest of the school came and shared with them, "Here is a poetess. Give her every possible encouragement. Read the best books to her. Teach her the finest that is in poetry. You will hear from this young lady someday." Wow, did those words prove to be prophetic. Our hymn for today, Blessed Assurance. Think about the hymnal, though. Think of all of your favorite songs that bear Fanny Crosby's name. To God be the glory, all the way my Savior leads me. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Rescue the perishing. Jesus, keep me near the cross. Chances are she wrote some of your favorite hymns, too. Some of these hymns came to her in just a matter of minutes. She describes hearing the music and knowing what words God had intended to be sung to that song. They were gifted to her, and they're gifted to us. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Only eternity will disclose the host of individuals whose lives have been spiritually enriched and blessed through Fanny Crosby's hymns. But the message of this song, Blessed Assurance, was especially meaningful to her, and it's meaningful to me too. It's Caleb's favorite hymn. You can hear it echoed in these words of scripture in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, it says, "Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who has called us is faithful." Then hear these words from John the beloved, the one who knew Jesus so well, as he writes these words, these famous words, one of the first ones that I memorized. He said, "Whoever has the Son has life, whoever does not have the Son does not have life." And then, "I write these things to you who believe, who are listening today, I write this to you that you may know that you have eternal life." You who believe in the name of the Son of God, you can know that you have eternal life. Blessed Assurance is a song about seeing past the veil. It exists in the tension between the present and the future. "This is my story in the present tense, flooded with meaning from the future. Pouring in from the future is this hope and this courage, this grace and this strength that I can experience today. It is a longing and a reveling and a revealing simultaneously. It is a prayer that with eyes closed, we can imagine something beyond what we're experiencing now. It is a prophetic voice that speaks into our current reality with the longing heart of God who wants to make it so. It is the act of closing one's eyes and receiving a greater vision, just as Fanny Crosby had. No, she could not see, and yet she could. Angels descending stream from above. Notice what she saw. This beauty of a time where there was perfect rest that was coming. You see, we live in this tension as the people of God, even in saying that we are Azure Hills Church, a diverse, multicultural, multi-generational community. We live in this tension that on Sabbath and in our community interactions, we long to have this space as a lightness, a joy, an ease, that this would be a space where the kingdom of God is reflected. On Sabbath, we remind ourselves of the power and of the healing and the joy of all that is possible, of this future that then pours meaning into the present. That is our calling, and that gives us assurance. Yet part of our role as the church, part of our role as leaders in our community, is to be tuned into the moral compass of our God, to call out sin in ourselves and in what we experience in our shared space, to call out that there is systemic injustice, that there is a valuing of people, property over people, that there is an inability to hear one another, that there is a lack of empathy in our hearts, that there is a talking past each other and talking around one another. Right now, our streets are full of smoke and blood and broken glass. Our hearts are shredded, our righteous anger spilling out. The injustice and the cruelty overwhelms us. Systemic brokenness, the status quo that cannot hear no matter how hard you cry or how loud you cry out. It's more than one can bear. When our eyes close in prayer, reaching out to God, you see angels descending even now, bringing echoes of mercy, whispers of love. Your story is bigger than the pain. Your story is bigger than the grind. There is praise here right in the midst, praise that rises from all of this. Though the darkness suffocates and chokes out the light, there is a watching with eyes closed that looks through the darkness, that sees above the greater light. How can I be lost in a world if I am lost in God's love? Though our eyes are blind by a gift of divine mercy, visions of rapture burst through and flood the soul. This is my story. This is my song. These words are a rebuttal to a world that tries to crush out meaning, to crush out life. We rebuke in the name of Jesus any message or action that denies the reality that all are precious, bought by the blood of Jesus. Let me say that one more time. We rebuke in the name of Jesus anything that goes against this truth in action or in word, that all are precious, bought by the blood of Jesus. And we commit ourselves to repenting and calling on God to change those words and actions that are not aligned with that truth, that all are God's children. No, we say above it all, no, this is my story. This is my song. We live into a future that is not yet, and the meaning pours in from that future, defining how we live the reality of the kingdom of God today, praising my Savior all the day long. When the world says my time is up, no, my praise goes on all day long. It won't be stopping. There's no curfew on God's goodness. There's no limit to this delight. When the world has taken everything, the smallest foretaste of glory is more than enough. One of our members lost one of their friends this week. An academy classmate that died of COVID-19, and because of the virus, because of how she died alone. She was there in the room and she found herself desperate in her final moments, desperate for the assurance of the love of God, assurance of salvation, assurance of her security in Jesus. I've lived this story many times as I've walked to the bedside of people, members and friends, asking God to hold them in peace. Fortunately, she reached out to someone, this lifetime Adventist, who now found herself floating in a sea, feeling alone. She found someone on the phone who was able to speak the blessed assurance to her of this love of God. She died this week, held in God's love. I write these things, John says, so that you may know. Not just head knowledge, but heart knowledge. The kind of knowledge that changes how you show up in the world. My dear friends, God desires you to know. To intimately, deeply know this love. To be grounded in this love of the one who created you, who formed you, who called you by name. The one who is watching you and caring for you even now. This is how God feels about each and every one of you, each and every one of us on this planet. There are things in your life that you know with certainty. There are other things you feel just moderately sure of. If you have received Jesus Christ, God says, you can live with the absolute conviction that you belong to God, that your salvation is sure. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. What a joyful experience that we can keep returning to the intimate presence and peace of God, even as things are uncertain. Some of you have been asking questions. Isn't this the time of the end? I don't understand why people keep talking about justice when we should be focusing on the signs of the times. Aren't these the last day events that we're witnessing? Just want to take a moment to speak with you about that. There's a whole chapter in Matthew chapter 24 that's all in red because Jesus is speaking. He's speaking both about the destruction of the temple, but also about the time of the end. And he has some specific things to say. Matthew chapter 24, verse 12 is where we'll turn first. You can turn there on your phone or in your Bibles. Matthew chapter 24. And verse 12, he says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but whoever stands firm to the end will be saved. Because of injustice, because of wickedness, because of the evil actions of others or the indifference of others or others not taking the time to understand, love will grow cold. The flame of empathy and compassion that once burned bright grows cold. Because you're on another side of this, love grows cold. This can happen with any of us, can't it? We're weary sometimes of not being heard. Jesus is calling us to stand firm in love. That means we're called firm to stand in empathy. We're called firm to stand in love. We are called to be those people that no matter what we see, we are so grounded in love that we will not let go of speaking up for what's right and making space for loving others. That's the call of the people of God. Jesus makes it very clear that we aren't to know the time, the day, the hour, so that's not for me to know. But what God does call us to is to not miss the important work of our time, the important work of love, the important work of showing up and continuing to care even when others have stopped. To be held in the blessed assurance of God and to live into this vision for the church and the community around us, this is our calling. There are so many evidences of love that has not grown cold. There's a restaurant in LA that I love that this week is donating 100% of their profit over the next 4 days to the Bail Project so that those who are peacefully protesting against injustice can be set free. There's a woman in Philadelphia who drug out her basketball net into the streets and united people over hoops, inviting people to join in with each other. There's a 9-year-old who's raised $20,000 for communities in need in Minneapolis by selling her bracelets. Yes, look for the helpers, my friends, as Mr. Rogers always said. There are examples in our membership too. Members who have been showing up to demand and stand for justice for all people. There are members that have been having hard conversations with their loved ones over comments of racism. There have been members that have been having conversations with their friends that they've never had before, being open to listen to their experience, to understand with new eyes what it is like to live in their daily reality. There are members who are volunteering and bringing food and reaching out to those who most have need right now. Love in action. Love is action. Now, the only part of this chapter where Jesus speaks that has a promise is the very next verse. It says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." This good news for all people. What does this look like in our families, in our businesses, in our community, to say, we want this to be for all people? Good news. What would it look like? You see, this, Jesus says, will happen before the kingdom of God is fully realized on earth again. We're invited earlier in Matthew when Jesus was speaking with his disciples to pray, "Your will be done here on earth as in heaven." We get to be a part of making that love visible in this world today. Now, maybe just reading these verses, you feel despair or discouragement settling in for you. You know that you don't have the love that you want to. You don't feel that love towards those who are different than you, or perhaps you don't even understand fully your part in all of this. You feel like you want to be open, but you don't know what it means. Maybe some of you don't have assurance. It's been years for you too. You've grown up in this church, but you don't have any blessed assurance right now. Maybe some of you aren't sure what the good news for all people looks like, and you feel scared of what time period we're in right now. Take courage. Let's take a moment to look at what it looks like to live in trust. One of our members described when they moved into their new home. Now, this is Southern California, and the home had sat in the sun for a long time. And so as they walked around, they saw that all of the landscaping had died. But they called the master gardener. Some of you know Serrano Nursery in Ritchie Canyon, amazing family that owns this. And he came up and he went around to each plant and he looked at the plants and he said, "This one, just water it. This one, you need to remove it. Oh, these ones will be fine. We just need to start watering them regularly." And then he said something so important. He said, "You aren't able to see what's dormant and what's dead. There are some that they clearly have no life and you have to pull them up, but others, when tended, they come back to life." We aren't able to see in our own lives what needs to be pulled up and uprooted. There may be things in your life and heart and mind that need to be uprooted. There are the things that will be softened by the water of life that Jesus, the Master Gardener, will come along and work and tend the soil of our lives, and it will burst into new life. God desires to have us so love as God loved, and Jesus is committed to working that in our lives. Listen to this quote from Steps to Christ, chapter 8. It says, In the matchless gift of his Son, God has encircled the whole world with an atmosphere of grace, as real as the air which circulates around the globe. All who choose to breathe this life-giving atmosphere will live and grow up in stature to the stature of men and women in Christ Jesus. As the flower turns to the sun, that the bright beams may aid in perfecting its beauty and symmetry, so we turn to the Sun of Righteousness, that heaven's light may shine upon us, that our character may be developed into the likeness of Jesus. We're invited to bring our whole selves, the best and the worst of us, the most loving parts and the not so loving parts. Through the careful tending of the Master Gardener, we will grow into maturity in love. That is the blessed assurance that we can come. We come to Jesus, and that Jesus is committed to working in us. This is the only way, I believe with all my heart, the only way for us to face the systemic injustice in our country, the racism, the feeling of uncertainty, all of this that we're facing right now, is by turning towards Jesus and allowing for that work of God in our lives. This is the only way that you can come to assurance of peace in God. The Spirit might be calling you today to turn to Jesus. Might be calling you today to repent of something that you've been holding on to for a very long time. The Spirit might be calling you today to come to Jesus and to have assurance for the first time in your life. It's not something that you can control. It's something that you turn to trust. I've known beautiful Christians that struggled their entire life with feeling assured of God's love for them. I've known beautiful and committed Christians who struggled their whole life with their thoughts and actions towards others. And you know what? They ended up more loving and more gracious people because of that struggle, because of their commitment, because they kept coming back to allow the gardener, the master gardener, to work in their life. So I'm committed to daily seeking to allow Jesus to work in my heart and life. How about you? Would you turn? Turn and have assurance of the work of God in your life.